Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I'm happy to be here today. Are you happy to be here today? Glory to God. Boy, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Will you welcome somebody by your side? Welcome. I'm happy to see you today. The Lord is good. Whatever response to it is perfect. No, whatever response to it. You see, the Lord is good. He's all the time. He's hallelujah. He's and His mercy endureth forever. Anyhow you go about it, the Lord is good. No, I mean anyhow. No, I'm talking now. I'm saying anyhow you go about it, the Lord is good. Amen. Glory to God. I've been on this discussion for the past few weeks, talking about the place of God's word and how God's word is key, and we must go to God's word. I remember I started some weeks ago, talking about I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And we're talking about the word of God and the place for God's word, the focus on God's word. Why God's word must be the focus. And I remember, I've told you a lot of stuff, but I want to go, I told you, I think the last time I was here, we talked about meditation. That the key to benefit, receiving the benefit from God's word is to not just hear the word, but meditate upon it. You have to stay there. A lot of people just think the key is I hear the word, go, I hear others, I'm in church. Or no. Being in church is not the key. I said, but they say we should come to church. Yes, now. It's so that you come to church so that, something else. There's some piece of it. They say we should come to church. And that's not the end. You come to church for something. Hallelujah. You get an encounter with God via His word, via the Spirit. God calls your case or calls something and power comes, whatever, all that is to be with God in spirit. It's to get His word, to get God's perspective of things. When we come, we ought to be submitting and then receiving. When we come to church, like you're sitting now, I have to speak, somebody has to teach you God's ways. That's why I'm here talking to you. Now, what we ought to be doing is to submit our own way and receive God's ways. So, coming to church is not the end itself. So they say we should come to church. So I came. And I've been coming to church. And I don't even know what's happening. You are just coming. To come. No. You're supposed to come and learn. I think I also said this the other time. Unlearn. Come on. Learn the ways of God. We come to get God's perspective of things so that we can go out and live according to God's ways. Are you still here? So we come to learn, of God. We come to have an encounter. Not just to learn. In a meeting like this, I'll be teaching. I'll speak for the next 50 minutes. But in the other meeting we're having, we're not going to be speaking. We're going to be praying. You see what I'm saying? So we come to church to have that encounter with God. We come to learn. We come to receive. We come to grow. We come to worship. We come to pray. All these things, everything that we do in church. Now hear me. All these things are for you. They are not for God. We don't come to church for God. We come to church for ourselves. We don't come to meet with God for God. We come to meet with God for us. We are the ones that need Him. We are the ones that need His power. We are the ones that need His knowledge, His wisdom. Come on. Just the pastors here are saying they're getting this. Are you getting this? We don't come to church for God. We come to church for ourselves. So we're coming with issues, with challenges, with desires, with our old mindset, with our way of life, with where we are, with where we want to be. And somebody says, I'm somewhere right now in my life, and I want to get somewhere. I want to be more prosperous. I want to have more than I have now, and be able to do more, be functional in my life. I don't want to be tied down. Or somebody says, I don't want to be sick. There's a pain in my body. I just have this recurrent, this sickness is there. Every so time, it just comes upon me and all that. Or just the devil, evil, wickedness in this world. And I want to get rid of that because right now I'm in the middle of something. I know this thing is of the devil. It's of wickedness. Are you still here? So we come to Him. But He doesn't have any problem. I said, he doesn't have any problem. So if we come to him, please stay with me, and we come to him and then we make it difficult, and we make it difficult, who do we hurt? Come to him and say, I'm not even going to come. I'm just going to do like this. I mean, the highest person you can hurt is the pastor. That's the highest person you can hurt. But it depends on the pastor. I won't be hurt. I don't like, the husband man shall be first partaker of his fruit. I solve my problem that way with you. I don't like, well, it's your life. This is my life. You know? And the Bible says, I'm quoting scripture. The husband man shall be first partaker of the fruit. This thing is your life. Okay. If you like, I'll come. I'll pray. I'll just pray. Pray. Guess what I'll be doing? Look at it. I'll be praying, talking to my God. So you can't make it difficult for him. The highest person you can make it difficult for me, he's in heaven. He actually loved, in love and power and everything, he left heaven to die for us. So that you and I can encounter his life, receive that life, and now use that life for our own success. He came from heaven, sent his son to die for us, so that you and I can, in relationship with him, receive something from him that can help us now go and make sense of our lives and fulfill our destinies. So what's his own gain inside? His joy is seeing you advance and prosper. But to say he has an issue that he's trying to solve, no. If I'll just make up my mind, I'll just go to hell. I'll go to hell, I'll burn in hell, and me and you will be in hell, we'll drink beer in hell. No problem. You think if you say that, he will not be in heaven and say, you say you go to hell and he doesn't care, that hellfire will be sweet. No problem now. When you have done 150 million years and eternity is counting, you will know whether it's him or you. It doesn't mean. So he says somebody is talking nonsense to God. God is a fool. Point your finger to God is a fool. Then he will not be in heaven and say, you mean I'm a fool? Turn that, go and say, he doesn't understand. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. You see, he will not respond to that. There's no God. There's nothing like that. All these people just talking nonsense. God is, you are there. Let me tell you, come and appear in my room on Saturday morning. He will not really come. You think he will answer you? You don't understand. You know, in the corner, just so that you will know. Let me tell you. They told him on the cross, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He didn't answer. He has a purpose in mind. He has an agenda. You are not just the center of his own thing. The agenda was to save people like us, who were interested, who knew, who we woke up to know one day that our life will be messed up without him. We woke up to know one day that if we continue like this, it will make sense. If we continue like this, darkness will swallow us up. And we will go on, not just swallowed in darkness, but distributing an evil darkness. We knew one day that we needed salvation. He died for us. So what they were saying, come down, come out of the tree. Said, no, I have a purpose. So you can't move him. You can't move him. He came from heaven to die. Then you just now say, let me show you. The pilot said, if you don't see Jesus standing there, he said, I have the power to release you. Oh, God. You don't understand God. Once you understand, I was reading the scripture for you. Submit to God. You will submit to God. You will submit. Once you understand, see this thing. And now, finally, preparing and coming, I say, I'm talking to people that are in church. You know why? A lot of people come to church, come to God, with no real thing, no real submission. They're not submitting to God. They are coming to God and thinking that it's a drag, this religious thing. I am serving a God of miracles. We do that. Or this thing, we do all that. And they think that we are playing game. We turn the lighting, we do this, then we'll come on Sunday, we'll talk. Just prepare. Let me hear what he has. Let me defend myself. This correct? No? Correct? Yes? No, it's not a game. It's nobody has that time. Who leaves his house to come and play a game with you? This is about our lives and about our destinies. And what I'm sharing with you now, I'm not just sharing with you, I'm also receiving light for myself. Truthfully. Keeping myself on this path, the Lord is the only way out. Can I tell you something? I have two, three things to share with you today, maybe three or four. But let me just go ahead like this from my notes. You see, I've not even used the note. Now, let me share this with you. You know, you've heard that if you see the grass green, somebody's watering it. Have you? Come on, are there people in church? If you've gone home, just say amen. Don't worry, I'll say it faster and I'll trick it better. At the right time, I'll say it, I'll catch you. Alright, now you've heard the grass is green. If the grass is green on the other side, somebody is watering it. That is good. And I came today to tell you something. I came to tell you, I'm going to tell you these things and just move on as I go on. Is the grass, if the grass is green on the other side, yes, somebody is watering it, but the grass has roots that you cannot see. The person's water is not what is doing it. It is the roots that is doing it. Ooh, glory. I fused two things together. They'll say if you see a tree, there's a root that you can't see. Then the grass is green, somebody is watering it. So I put the two of them together. Because sometimes we look at the grass is green. Let me land it. The grass is green, somebody is watering. I say, I'm going to water. Gagam, be watering. Roots is more important than the water. So now, then we go to the next one. If you see a tree, you don't see the roots, but there's roots. The root is sustaining the tree. So there are things you cannot see that does the sustenance, not just the watering of the grass by the young man there. Did you get that? The grass is green, but there's a root system. And so you and I should not just be longing to water. Come on. We should not just be longing to water. Let's water. Let's develop our root system with God. That's the key. So that small water, Kalaboseka. I'm preaching now. Small water, because the root system is there. There's a root planted. There's something there. It will absorb nutrients. Your water without nutrients absorbing, it's not going to work. It's absorbing. So we need to work on the roots, our relationship with God. Water. I believe in watering. You should water. You should water very well. But you must understand that the root system is there. Such that somebody now, we just do a small watering like this. Pia, pia, pia. You see, I did what I do. I do what he does now. We leave the house. I even do more. I leave the house by 7:30. I'm home by 6:30. Come on. I do it. I'm doing it. We're even in the same business. The same business. We do go, come back. Somehow. Check the root system. You can't see the root system. You can see the watering part. But you can't see the root system. Check his root system. Check where he's planted. Check his relationship, his connection with divinity. Now, I don't just mean divinity as per God, as our God, the Almighty God. But connections with all manner of things. You don't see any car moving without an engine. Everybody has a power source. You never really just see the power source. Every tree has a root, you just don't see the roots. Are you still here? Before you start running up and down, watering the grass is green, check the root. So, let's leave the green grass. Come on. I'm going to talk to you today about leave the green grass. That's the part we can see. The part we cannot see. The part nobody can see. The part nobody can take away from you. You can take away my job, but you can't take away my connection with God. If you cut the tree, as far as the root is still there, oh God. If you cut the tree, as far as the root is still there, this is what I'm trying. I said I'm talking about a way out. A way out is a relationship with God. I know when I started talking about this weeks ago, I said you cannot be in a tight corner. God don't want you there. You cannot be there. You say, Pastor, you cannot be there. You know what? A relationship with God, the root system, cut the tree. Basically, put the aging oil. Robbie, put the aging oil. Eh? If the root is still intact, guy, you know what I'm talking about. If you know, it will come out of another place. A relationship with God is the key. The principle is what I mean. I mean, somebody said this some time ago. I love it. He said, relationship with God is my game-changing plan. You know, when we talk about our game-changing plan, we talk about, you know, something we want to do that will change things for us. I'll start, my business will start, you know, we'll open another branch. game-changing plan. Or I will save more. If I save more, my income, you know all those game-changing plans we have. He said, my own game-changing plan is increasing and bettering my relationship with God. Do we ever think even like that? Come on. A believer connected to God can be in a tight corner. Why? Because of that relationship, that connection. Jesus Christ came, and now even as I'm saying this now, it's looking like a game to somebody. It's like, the church, so what will he say before? No, it's not. It's real. He came and died so that you and I can have relationship with him. If it is from that relationship. You say, how does relationship work? Listen to me. It is from that relationship that all the solutions, the wisdom, the direction you require for your life will now come out. Did you understand what I said? It is from that relationship with God. You know, you say, Pastor, I'm here. You just said we want to go forward in life. We want to advance. We want to do money. Continue talking like that. Exactly. That is why me and you are on the same boat, to my brother. I don't want to be where I am again. I don't want to be here forever. You think I want to be in this hall forever? No. Not like, when you talk about moving forward, advancement, and all that, it, you should know it's real to everybody, including me as the pastor of this church. We want to have more locations. We want to have more people come to church and receive the life of God through our ministry. So I don't want to be here for long. I'm not, according to our structures and plan, our work and diligence, we don't want to be here another 1 year. That's what I'm talking about, right? You have plans too for yourself to go forward in your life, business, whatever you want to do. Come on, am I talking to people? Don't look at me like, this one is real. This is real. At least you can agree with that. You want to get more stuff, do more stuff, and be more comfortable. You know, how much is that shawarma? 1.5. You say, 1.5? A whole 1.5 for shawarma? You want to buy it and walk away? Come on, how many people? Okay. If you want shawarma, I'll buy for you shawarma. But I'll look for shawarma of 600. Can buy 1.5. 1.5 for everybody. Okay. If you want shawarma, raise your hand. I'll buy for you. That one will always raise that. I'm in church. You know when I'm talking those kind of things, I'm just talking it. You know, I'm just saying. Some people knew I was just talking it. They knew I won't buy shawarma for anybody. But I'm going to enjoy the and you know that. I was telling, what was that thing? I said, shawarma is just like a girl's thing. Why did they just say, buy me shawarma? I think, what's wrong with you, shawarma? It's nothing, shawarma. There's nothing there. You want to buy, you don't want to cry. You want to be able to do stuff you want to do. That's what I'm talking about. You can't do stuff, you cry. You can't, listen, not for yourself. Just have you been at that point in your life? Have you been at a place, brothers and sisters, have you been at a place? I know for everybody, things are tough and you get to do stuff. But have you been at a place in your life? Maybe you're just doing something and somebody comes to you. Or you heard about the condition. The condition pain you. You wish that you could have stuff to help that person. Come on. Come on, there have been things I've heard that I've told, ask God, I want to help this person. I wish I could do, because, no, I don't know, I mean, even if I can be a part of it, I can't just, you know, somebody, and you know that in this life, somebody, one individual can solve the problem. You are thinking of how you want to contribute and be a part of it, okay, just add my own to it, and you add your own to it. I'm sure God touched your hand and helped you somehow, you're able to contribute. But you also want to be at the place where you could just hear of it and say, how much is it needed? Say, 450, say, 450, come and take. I say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. He said, no problem. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. No problem. You want to be able to impact a life like that. I want to. So, if I'm not talking about buying shawarma, I'm talking about you expand, increase, fulfill your destiny. You're sufficient such that you are able to give. Yeah, like the scripture says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency for every good work, we abound for every good work. It says that God wants you to abound. So that's something. Whereas we are thinking of starting a business or growing our business, somebody has sufficient to be able to help a woman start selling. You see a woman pregnant selling pure water. You calculate the pure water. How much pure water will she sell? At this stage of pregnancy, the rain is about to start falling now. She's still there selling pure water. What can we do? How can we structure? You say, let's leave it for the government. Leave government alone. They've already shown us they can't do anything. The people who are lights, who are salt, to stand up. That's what I'm preaching to you. And we can stand up. We'll be launching our health ministry some weeks from now. We're going to UBTH. We're launching our health ministry. I thought you'd be excited. Why are you looking at me? Yes, think evil. Just shout, woo, woo, it's okay. It's okay. I don't know how to shout. Shout, just shout. Okay, I'll be giving all of you two million naira in this place. They say it's a lie. Who give us 2 million? Who told you? Maybe I have it to give. We're launching our health ministry. We're going to UBT. We'll talk to you about it. The Father's Barn. It's a whole ministry by itself. It's not what pastor, whatever. It is a whole ministry by itself. And we're launching our health ministry. So at least, it's not about even having, when I talk about even helping somebody, you may not have everything all put together, but we must be able to do something for someone. You see, that's hard. God wants it. So God wants to be at a point where you are able to be a blessing. You know, we put something up some days ago. We're talking about this stuff. We put it up, what we want to put on Instagram. God's desire is not just to bless you. You remember what he told Abraham? Our father Abraham, Abi? What did he tell him? Bless you and do what? Come on, what did he say? I will bless you and what? That's God's desire. Everything God gives to you is to flow into your life, make you rich, and then... That's God's design. Everything you have, your life, your very life, is to be a blessing to somebody else. I will bless you. You say, I will bless you. You're blessed. No, God, stop there. No, I will bless you. I will make you a blessing, a source of blessing. God wants you to... Come and say, God wants me to be a source of blessing. Hallelujah. It flows through you. Glory to God. So God wants that for your life. And you want that. You desire that. And so what he did for us, you and I, is he, by ourselves, we cannot. So already by ourselves, we cannot. In our own strength, might, and power, we cannot. We will stumble. We will fail. And he also saw and knew that there is an obstacle to us. And that is the enemy. There is someone who wants to destroy our lives, destroy our hopes, our dreams, and make it such that we're not able to do anything. Bring frustration and desperation and despair to us. There's a whole... Somebody like that. We call him the devil, the enemy. Against all that God desires to do. Against all the good of God. Not equal to God, but against God. And he saw that this guy dealing with us, with that guy there, there's no way we can go. And so what did he do? That's the solution you and I have. Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. This thing is so simple. You can't miss it. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. Now, dying for us will mean now that we can actually relate with him. Because other than that, we can't have a relationship with God where we can come and say, Father, Father, you, and you, God, you, thunder, come, strike this one. Next one come, you say, Lord God, you say, Lord me, you, I know you. Thunder, please, next guy. It will go through all of us like that. Nothing will work. No, we can't have a relationship with him. And so Jesus Christ comes into the scene, dies for us, gives us something. He doesn't come and distribute to 2 million naira or shawarma. So what he came to do is what many people are missing out of. He came to give us a relationship with God. He gave us to give us a chance to approach God and call him Abba. Now, it is that privilege of sonship that you and I have. It is from that privilege. It is from that chance. It is from that relationship that all the solutions to your problem comes. Oh, God. So, while we are low on the relationship, we are desirous of the solutions. He said, no, it is from that. It is from that koinonia. It is from coming to meet him. It is from talking to him. It is from paying attention to his word and imbibing his sayings. It is from all that something is happening inside of you. Direction, wisdom, change, and strength, and focus is coming. All those things will now come into your life. Then you will not go and take one step, two steps. The things that were mountains for you will not submit. Then you just pour small water. Then the tree will grow. All that is coming from the relationship. So Jesus came to die for you and I to have a relationship with God. It is that relationship that is the key to all your issues. So while you are in church now saying, pastor, talk about my issues and all that, and problem. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm saying, I know, I agree with you. I'm going through exactly the same thing you are going through. But I understand that the key is not to be in pursuit of those things, but to begin to build my relationship with Him, to come and say, He's my God and His name is Yahweh, and to focus on Him and to love Him, and to say, all right, pastor, preach, all right, I'm ready to take notes and be changed from the inside of me. I'm ready to worship and mingle with my brethren. I'm ready to even do stuff for you, Lord, for dying for me, to bring me to this point where I can have a relationship with you. Can I win souls? Can I bring somebody to church? Can I bring somebody to also come and meet you? You know, you see, all that. Then somehow you go out on Tuesday. The miracle happens. Somehow you come on 6:30 a.m. and you pray, and you pray, and you talk to Him, and say, Father, I want this thing. This is real. You know, you say, Lord, I want this, and Jesus tell you, when I walk away, say, no, this one is real. And then you pray, and you do that, and then you come, and you do all that relationship. He gives you the grace and the power, and then you are able to walk out of that darkness. And though they cut the tree, because the root is rooted, connected to Him, life still comes out. Though things are tough, life still comes out. A miracle still happens. Cut the tree. They put engine oil on it and say it will come. Because that tree, the root is connected to Almighty God. There's nothing you can do. You can't cover this one. You can't lock this one. This one is Ugagbe. I like that. Come on. I'm Benin. You might not know, but I'm Benin. Ooh, Ugagbe. Can't kill this one now. Why? But why? Not because his head is strong. There's nothing in his head. You know what is strong? It's his God that is strong. His relationship with his God is real. They that know their God shall be strong. No, do exploits. So you see, it's not a game. It's not a game. I'm not coming to do a game. You know, say, so if you want to do it, change my life. I can change your life. I can bring you into a relationship with God. I can't just solve your problem. Just take, you just did that tomorrow. I just, all those, that's when they are gaming. I mean, I'm telling you, relationship with God is the key. And you just take a step and you look at your life 3 months from now. You see that change, that thing, breakthrough. You see the things that were burdens and challenges and stuff. You know, but stop. Can we look at this thing from somewhere else? Can we look at it from try and try again? Can we look at it from the pursuit, the raw pursuit of stability of life, the raw pursuit. When I mean the raw pursuit, I mean, can we look at it from just, I'm going to just go and just go. Don't you get tired? Have you not gotten to that point? Because truthfully, I mean, I have sense. I've thought about it. I've done that thing. You just go, you work hard, then you have sense. Then anybody that wants to take from you, you cut short, then you say you can have more. Somebody says you come, they can't take my money. Then you keep more. Then you don't give to your brothers. Don't support your parents. Don't support anybody. Then anything, including God and church thing, that's going to take extra stress for you. Like, for example, transport to church. If I calculate my transport to church, I spend 100 naira go, 100 naira come, 20 naira. If I do that on Sunday or Wednesday, oh, actually, no. I have to go down. You do what? You've done all that. And somehow in your life, there's still the emptiness. Come on. And you just look at, after doing all that calculation and not giving to anybody, you say, I can't give a tenth of my income. How will I tithe? Go for what? And you've done all that. You just turn, just take a turn. Look at your neighbor. He's better than you. You look at your cousin, the other one, just got this stuff. Then look at that stuff. So I'm going to do it harder. I mean, really, if you have sense, you stop. There's no point. It will still pass you. Somebody will still pass you. As you kept it rich and not giving to anybody, not done anything, I've been selfish. The selfishness have even led to an emptiness. And you start to ask yourself one question when you are by yourself, selfishly counting your money. What is the meaning of all this? So this is how I will live my life forever and ever. Yeah. That is how. So that is what I was born to be counting money and hiding it, counting 2,000, keep it. Okay, now the money was 15,000, now it's 18,000. Hey, now I will soon show them. As she just came out, she just said, God, don't bless me. God, man, I don't get one job. Yeah, hey, yeah. Obligate everything you have done. Then you now say, now, this year, I'm going to even do more. I'm going to work harder. Then, don't this lead to emptiness and all that? There's an emptiness to that. Okay, the way you're looking at me, like, but it means you are not going to the end. Don't worry, continue. Somebody has more money than you. I could even bet if we start doing financial ranking just now. We already start ranking with somebody who has more than you. People that have money more than me are plenty. I mean, I know this, so you can say he's a liar, everybody's a criminal. You know, if you have that, everybody's a criminal, you too will never prosper. That's the truth. But let me tell you, I know of somebody, this true life, because sometimes I know somebody who works with a multinational in the country here. Not even our oil, yeah, I mean, it's a multinational. I mean, how do you get a job with a multinational firm? First of all, he works with a multinational. I was told how he built his house. You know, you are gathering money a bit to buy land. Now, he built his house with the property in place, is with a catalog. This is not a thief. This is somebody that works with a multinational. Fortunately, anyhow you want to call it, he got a job with a multinational early many years ago. So they built a house. You just come to the house. You come to say, Palo, what do you want for Palo? They show you different pictures. You say, Palo, this, that, these chairs, you put that chair. Then kitchen, they show you pictures. So you select everything from picture. Then you walk away. Then they build your house. Everything you selected just now, put it inside that house. And do all that. Then you leave your former house and walk into the other house with no property. Don't need to buy television. Just call, hello, brother, go to my house. I've moved to pick the things you require. Call this guy, pick the things you require. I've moved. You know how to pack without packing anything. You don't buy gas cooker. You don't buy pot. You don't buy anything because everything was picked from a picture. Do you want to continue working hard? I'll continue. God can give you a breakthrough. Can give you some. Before you start thinking that God wants to make your life good for you. Not that. That's not the picture. Don't have that picture. Say, yes, so God, do that one for me. There's, no, that's not my focus. I'm trying to make a point. My point is, no, you might not get there. You might even do that. You say, but I pray to God, why did God not give me that job? That, I don't know. Me, I won't answer that question. I don't know that. But I know that God wants to make your life blessed so that in that comfort of your love, your life and relationship with Him, you can actually be a blessing to other people. So it's not about having everything or being perfect or having 10 million. No, that's not the goal of God. God didn't come so that we can all have 2 million in our account. I'm spoiling my message, but I'd rather just spoil it and make it perfect. Are you still in this church just now? Just continue living. If that's the goal of your relationship with God, so you can just have, spend there, sit down, just there, that's not God. Oh, thou fool. All you have now, who will it be? Who will possess all you have? The rich man's property brought up a lot of goods. He said, I'll extend my bands, I will sit down, relax. Oh, my soul, take rest. I said, thou fool, you die just now. Who will have all these things you have? So what's the meaning of life? I mean, what's the meaning of life outside of stuff? God is the only one that makes life make sense. Are you still here? So that where you are, as you in a relationship with Him, walk forward to go forward, and He's guiding you and moving you. You are comfortable. You don't look out through your window and say, "Oh, look at that guy," and feel despair for your family. Look at your wife. Look at your kid and say, "Oh, my life is all miserable." No, sometimes you keep on feeling that despair because you just look out through the window and see somebody else. But in a relationship with God and a loving relationship with my Father, I feel so much joy and so much peace that right now I'm here preaching to you and just doing this stuff, and I don't have 15 million, 10 million, 9 million. I just love my love, love my wife, love my small boy, and love you guys. You see? Nobody loves me back. But I love you guys. And I'm just happy, and I just go and I go. And then you say, because your life is good, if I can have your life. I'm trying not to have my life. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying not to have my life. You are trying to have my life. I'm trying to have another life too. So where does it end? So it's not about that perfection of life. It's about a relationship with God that brings you peace and love and joy and just keep going forward with the things that God wants you to do. This is what God wants me to do. And I'm doing it and I'm happy. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came and died that you and I can have a relationship with Him. It is out of that relationship that fulfillment comes. It is out of living for God and serving Him and walking with Him that fulfillment comes. It's out of that. Somebody can have millions and still overdose and die. You would think if you have that amount, you live in that mansion, you will not need any, you have any problem, Abi? He comes to Jesus by night. In the night. And he asked off. That's the guy that came by night. What about the rich young ruler? comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to have? And he asked off. Guess what? Inside is still empty. That's not the goal of God. Are you still here? Glory to God. Take your Bibles to John chapter number 9. Let me do some work and then we go today. John chapter number 9. Glory, glory, glory. So, God wants you to be at that point where you are fulfilled in Him. And in that fulfillment in Him, you bring joy and blessing to all the people around you, to everything around you. And you make your impact in this world. You touch the life that He wants you to touch. The people around you that you can bless. You make that impact in their lives. And then you are done here. We will all not be this or be that. But we all have a destiny in Christ, in God, that must be fulfilled, that can be fulfilled in that relationship with God. Are you still here? In John chapter number 9, I just want you to see something Jesus said. He wants you to prosper and be free. In John chapter number 9, and as Jesus passed by from verse number 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, come on, I am the light of the world. Jesus. Saw a man born blind. Restored the man's sight. Restored his sight. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. This is the Jesus that you and I have come to have a relationship with. So he can open blind eyes. And so if you even have a problem with miracles, you have a problem with God. How can he do a miracle in your life when you don't believe in miracles? Are you still here? He wants to do a miracle in your life, just the way he did in this man's life. Blind eyes to seeing eyes. Now he can see. That's Jesus. That's his work. That's what he wants to do in your own life too. Say, Pastor, I have a challenge. You know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to break that yoke too. So, listen to me. I read that scripture to show you that it is in this relationship with God. In God, there is this freedom to go forward. There is this advancement. There is this desire being met. When blind Bartimaeus came to him to the same thing, when he met Jesus, he said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want to receive my sight. He said, according to your faith. When ten lepers met him, he said, go share your faith. As they turned, they got it. You know, he just kept on doing good, healing people and helping people and being that blessing to people. And everybody that met Jesus, guess what? Lifted and excited. Lifted and excited. Take your Bibles to Acts 10:38. Look at Acts 10:38. A passion for your life. So the man that has a passion for your life, the one who is interested in you, you ought to turn your eyes and your relationship towards him and be interested in him. It is in him. It is in him. And in that relationship with him, that you begin to experience peace and comfort and joy and fulfillment, even from where you are to where you want to be. It is with Jesus that you can fight and win. Come on. That's a good one. It's in Jesus you can fight and win. You can fight. Nobody says you can't fight, but by yourself, guy, you have a force against you, the devil. But with Jesus, you stand a chance of fighting and winning. He is going to be on your side, cheering you on to win and aiding you by His grace. By His grace and power. Glory to God. He wants you to go forward. His desire is for you to go forward. His desire is for you to come out of that hole, that difficulty, in a connection, in a relationship with Him. So the way out is a relationship, a connection. Building that thing with God. And you come out. That man came out. I'm the light of the world. Glory to God. Remember in John chapter 10, verse number 10, just now. We can't turn that scripture. You are already somewhere else, right? In John chapter 10, verse number 10. Remember, you know the scripture. It says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No, that's not the way, the truth, and the life. Sorry. In John 10:10, it said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see it now. But guess what? I am come that what? Do you know the scripture? Come on. I am come that you may have a life. Now, can we stop? I want to preach. I just finished my introduction. That's introduction. Introduction preaching starts now. All right. Now, you can imagine. I say, hey, while are they? No problem. Just relax. While are they? I'm going to go. I'm just ready. Now, listen to me. He says, look at that scripture. Come, just throw everything away. Stop. He says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come. So, this God that we are turning our backs to is the one that came for us. So, you understand? That's why a lack of a relationship with God is funny. A lack of a relationship, a lack of a pursuit of God is funny. Because imagine you already have the thief that have come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Then the only person who can help you is the person you now don't have his time and you don't want to build a relationship with him. So you see now that there's a thief that have come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if I face that thief, I can't make it. That guy is a thief, a bad one. And he has been doing these things from generations. The Bible calls him liar, the father of lies. Imagine somebody that is the father of lies. Don't you hate lies? He's the father of lies. I hate lies. All right, you can get all that, but some people get it. Now, then imagine you can't face that thief. Then he says, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Not just have life, but have it abundantly. So what should you and I do on Monday morning? You know, to be in relationship with this guy. What should we do on Sunday? Should we bother about the time we spend with him? When he's the one that can, the only one that can give us life, and that life abundantly, and in that life and that grace and power, we can actually go and now at least do better than we can do by our strengths. A relationship with God is the way out. You've been asking, Pastor, what can I do? I want to be different. In this year, by his upper power, he wants to restore you to that place where you go back to that relationship with him. Come on, somebody, say amen. That's the key. That's the way. I'm come. So, his plan is for us to have life and abundance. And so, I would gladly come and spend time with him. I won't be running from him and trying to work hard. There's somebody that in one swipe, one single stroke, he can finish everything you've done. That's the devil. Yeah. If he's loose, I mean, the grace of God. For many of you, you say, what has God done for me? What has God done for me? Can I tell you what God has done for you? I mean, God has already brought you to this place right now to be hearing this message. God has done something for you. To know this now, you now know. I see there's somebody, there's an enemy against you, and with one strike. Let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you. You know, see, this is what Pastor Church Pastor does not like talking about our enemies. Let me tell you. Your enemy is devil. All those people in your village, that auntie that don't like you, I agree. Somebody said, let me tell you, I know she doesn't like me. She went to let this doctor do something against my parents. I agree with you. The problem is not her. The problem is not the native doctor. The real person who put the evil in her heart is the devil. So your enemy, the person that is against you, that is causing the real problem, is the devil, not your auntie. So when we are focused on uncle, auntie, and all that stuff, after he finishes with that woman and then you succeed somehow in killing her, if you succeed, guess what? Devil just sowed the seed. Do you know that the seed might not even be auntie, uncle? Please, I'm doing this again to help somebody here. I don't know. This is so simple. If you look at my logic, it's clear. It just be your co-worker. Your co-worker just don't like you. Let's go. You kill that one too? Okay, fine. Let's kill that one too. Guess what? It's like Hydra. Cut one head, 10 rises up. If you don't know Hydra, you need to know Hydra. You're not watching Captain America enough. If you watch enough Captain America, you know what I'm talking about. I know he's smiling. Yes, cut one cut. They are refusing to smile. Two cut. Cut somebody else and say, I'm not going to smile. Then all of you are caught. Those of you that are refusing to smile. Come on. So what I mean, you have somebody against you. I'm not talking about your uncle or your auntie or that neighbor. That they can be, just give me grace. You can just walk past somewhere, somebody just hate you. Who did that? The person. Does he know you? Why does he care about you? No. devil. If we do everything, I mean, somebody will go to shrine to bring somebody down that he never has spoken to. Why? He's just, I'm just seeing him. You'll be surprised that the people, let me tell you, as we walk, I know that they can do a manner of things. You'll be surprised that the real person who is after your destruction, you and him have never spoken. But since you go to that compound, rented that room, and you go in and out, and you say, I see no problem, and just is he just, the devil, come on. I don't know, are you in church? Just put it in his heart. You don't know that he has a problem with you. You are even thinking, oh, my life is just good. I'm just going, thank God, oh, I don't, good morning, brother, good morning, sister. He's there. He just hates the fact that you went out and came back. For the past 3 months, he has been seeing you. Then you now went to go by yourself and painted your room. Why would you paint your room? Who do you think you are? He's there thinking it. Who do you think is making him think those thoughts? Himself. He's your enemy. You don't know enemy. You don't know why Jesus Christ came to die. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus Christ came to die not because of that guy, because of the person who sows those kind of evil seeds that stops you. It's the devil that sows those kind of evil seeds. He just wants to stop you. The devil is after stopping you. The guy doesn't know why he wants to stop you. The guy wants to stop you from prospering. He doesn't have any connection. Your lack of prosperity will not make him prosper. To enemy talk, but you need to get this enemy thing straight. If you get the enemy thing straight, guess what you will do? You will run to God. I don't have a problem with anybody. Everyone in the street just says this, why is this? I don't have a problem with that. I know that I need to pray and say Jesus and I'm quite close to God and listen to His word and pay attention to His word and do that because of because what does reading Bible have to do with my neighbor who hates me? That is why you don't get close to God. You are thinking that it doesn't make any connection. If I can just walk out and just run away and park. Guy, immediately you park and arrive in your new house. If I can just park. Guy, I parked. I found that it doesn't work. Because the house you parked into. You see, no matter the house you park into. Can you just allow me to talk to you? Let me do this. I know this is actually house of my note, but let me do this for you. You know, you just parked into a house. You just parked from that house where you were in a 2-bedroom apartment, everybody in self-contained, you were the Lord there, and they all hated you. See, on my head, pastor, all of them hate me in this company. I want to just go and park. And you now move to a 3-bedroom apartment by yourself in a high-rise area, a different area from where you are right now. And then you say, oh, my problem is over. Then you now, in that place, you just are going about your duties and you now share your wedding card. Somebody is angry with you from that place too. You now unfortunately went to go and buy a car. And somebody will be, so, an enemy again is born where you are. Do you understand? All that person putting those things in their heart is not them. They don't even know you. They don't care about you. It's the devil. And the only way I can solve that problem is not parking, running, hiding, and whatever. It's just go to God. Your enemy problem is solved in a relationship with God. The people are not the problem. So I will try not to have enemy. Everybody come and take one shawarma. You see, if I even give everybody shawarma in this place, they will still not like me. I guarantee that everybody will not like me. Glory to God. Alright. I said to turn to Acts 10:38. Let me stick my notes and go. Alright, Acts 10:38. Can you... we're not ready, have we? Alright, look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about... It's not their enemies that did that. It is the devil that did it. You could see a physical manifestation of it in an auntie and an uncle and all that. But the person is responsible is the devil. So when the Bible says he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good. Don't forget the doing good part. Doing good. Jesus was doing good. That same Jesus is in your life. And wants to do good and great things in your life. He wants to. So your way out is a relationship with Him. So stop running from Him. Stop doing this church thing, this pastoral thing. Pastors, they just do pastors. Don't do. Seek God from your heart. Come seeking God. Seeking to touch Him. Seeking to hear His words. Seeking. Come with your heart open. And then He will come here by Himself and touch you. I won't even know. Just a medium. I just came to do 1 hour. That's my own. But I believe that in all this, His word is entering your heart. And even when I divert and talk about this, I believe He's answering some questions for somebody here. Answering questions for you.
That's how I come in faith. You too come in faith. You come in faith, I come in faith. Bam, miracles happen in this church. Come to meet him. Desire to make the meetings and to build a relationship with him. Desire to go to his word. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my saying. Do not let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Guess what? They are life to those that find them. They are held to all their flesh. Now begin to start to seek God's word. Start to desire to be hungry. Begin to get hungry for God. Just to say, don't be hungry for God. Why? He's the way out of my problems. He's the way out of my challenges. He's the way out of my difficulties. He's the way out. For me, as I stand before you, God is the way out for me. He's the way out. There's no way. If I walk out today, tomorrow, I will that. I need his miracle power. I need him to come and do good in my life. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's God. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I don't need to run from that guy. I don't count hours with that guy. I can be with that guy for long because he's my guy. He's my guy. No other person is my guy as much as he's my guy. You're all my guys, but God is my greatest guy. He's the one that got my back. Some of you don't say, Jesus Christ. No, when Jesus Christ came into Jesus, I said, oh, we love him. Palm branches, Palm Sunday. After Palm Sunday, away with him. Crucify him. The same guys. All of you guys looking at me now, suspiciously. Say, Pastor, we're there for you. Pastor, we're there. We are your guys. All right. You guys are all my guys. Smile a little bit. I love you guys. But God is my greatest guy. He is my defender. He is my defender. He's my rock. He's my pillar. Come on. He's my shield. He's my pillar. He's the rock upon which I stand. You can stand on men. Men will fail you. You can do all that. I just talk about real stuff. Even if you have friends that have done stuff to you, or betray you at that point, and you're wondering, and if you are looked at a man, my man will fail you bad. I look to God only. Glory to God. I want to show you one scripture before I go. I want to go, but I want to show you this scripture before I go. We've talked about this scripture. We have this scripture. We've got this scripture. We've enjoyed this scripture some time ago in our church. And today I want to show it to you again and bring it back to life for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Look at it. I need you to see this in your Bible. It will blow your minds. And you will run for him. You will run to him. You will run to him. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Jesus loves you, came to die so that you can have a relationship with him. There's no point running from him. What do we gain running from him? Nothing. Who do we run to? Okay, if we run from Jesus, who do we run to? So we'll not do it by ourselves. Me, I don't want to do life by myself. I don't want to do life by myself. Look at, are you there in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3? Come on, continue next week. I have to go. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Are you there? Verse number 16. Look at it. I mean, this scripture, when I first saw it, me, it finished me. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, the God of peace himself gives you peace always and by all means. Come. Me, when I saw this scripture, the way you are saying that, God knows I didn't say that. Really, this is a Bible. No, the part that struck me more is by all means. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. I don't need to rule this scripture. The God of peace himself gives you peace. He will give you the peace, not sometimes. He gives you peace always. And then he will do it by all means. Whatever it takes to ensure that you have peace. Peace is shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. A fulfilled life, calmness, stability, going my way, coming my way, looking at enemies and say, Dad, I'm sorry I didn't do jack to you. That's peace. He wants to give you that peace always and by all means. So how will I, what should I do with this God? He's my way out. A relationship with God is the only way I can see. Can I do this next week? I'll come and finish up next week. A relationship with God, listen to me so I can go. What I'm trying to show now, that all that piece we just read just now, right? By all means and all that, he needs to tell you. How does he tell you when you are not available to hear it? How does he give you the peace when you don't want to take it? So your way out is relationship with him. You say, it's in the Bible. Let him do it now. Let him do it. He's doing it already. When he sent you to what pastor church? He's already working in your life. See, as God started working in my life, as you came to this church and you're receiving this word, he already started working in your life. He already started bringing these truths to you now. That's why I'm preaching it now. He's talking to you right now. God is talking to you right now. So you see, does he love me? Has he done anything for me? The greatest thing he could do for you was to bring you to hear a word like this, to see a scripture like this. Open your heart to these truths. Now the God of peace himself gives you peace always and by all means. There's no way to be far from this God. In fact, to be away from him is not, it doesn't have, there's no point to it. There's no point. To not dig into him and dig deeper into him is funny. It's funny. He wants to give you peace. He wants to do it by all means, but he has to talk to you. It's out of the relationship that you will not say, oh, this is what to do. He said, do this. No, I don't mean you come and hear boys, do this, do that. No. The wisdom of God going to come into your heart. He's going to, you'll be going somewhere. You'll just say, go and see your friend. He will be suggesting your heart. I mean, that the peace will come. This by all means, he wants to do it. But he needs to be in a relationship. Everything begins with this relationship. Everything begins with this relationship. I don't mean, you know, say, Pastor, I'm in relationship with God. I've said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've said it now. You know what I'm talking about. Come on, come on, come on. If you don't nod your head now, I'm going to do 1 hour. You know what I'm talking about? Relationship. That's my threat. That's the pastor's threat. Any pastor don't threaten people with this is not a real pastor. I mean, Lord Jesus, I'm doing 1 hour. All right. I'm going. But hear this now. This relationship is what he came to die for, so that you can have. It is in this relationship, this koinonia, this spending time with him, hearing his words, listening to him, changing your own heart, your own choices to his own choices, that will now bring in all these benefits that we're talking about. This peace always and by all means. Relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone, you spend time with the person, you listen to the person, you do stuff for the person, like buy shawarma for the person. I said shawarma again. I said no more shawarma in this message. Because of my shawarma problems. I didn't look that direction. Okay, I'm preaching. I have the right to swing my hand the way I like. I'm preaching. I'm a pastor. I can just point anywhere. Because of the problem is this. You know, God wants you to stop in your life. And then I have to go. And think about my life after this. Glory to God. I want to continue and build my relationship with God. I have a relationship with God, but I'm not taking it seriously. I want to build my relationship with God. I want to change. You know why I'm preaching this? Why in the second half of this year? I want to change. I don't want 2021 to be like last year and last 2 years. I want to focus on my relationship. That's my way out now. I know my way out now. A relationship with God. I'm going to take my God seriously. I'm going to take being with him seriously. Doing his work seriously. I'm going to let go of my own and my ways for his ways. Pastor, will you preach to me? I want to open up my heart to him today. I want you to bow your heads here. You're in this place. We're not coming out. We're not lifting our hands. You know yourself. And talk to God. Lord, rededicate now. Recommit to a relationship. Rededicate. Go back to a relationship. Lord, I want to go back. And Lord, I'm coming back. Lord, I'm the son that strayed away. I'm the daughter that I've been far from you. I've done what I like. I want to make progress in my life and advance, but I really have not. Without you, I cannot. I will not be fulfilled. I will not be happy. Lord, I want to come back to you. You are my fulfillment. You are my way out. Can you talk to God today? Can you yourself rededicate yourself to God? Pastor, I'm in a challenge. I'm in right now. I'm in a straight place. He will show you the way out. The God of peace himself. He won't commit to an angel to give you peace. He will give you peace. By all means, he himself will give you peace. Please bow your heads and talk to God. I'm done talking. It's time for you to talk to him. And then he will talk to you too. Lord, I want to recommit my life to you. I want to go back to that relationship. I didn't even know before. I was not doing church like church is church, oh, I beg, let church not enter my life. No, I want church to enter my life. I want the word of God to enter my life. I want God to take over my life. Oh Lord, take over my life. Take over my life. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything. Today, Lord, I give you everything. If you are not saved in this place, you can say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Today, you can say that simple prayer. You can say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want a relationship with you. You are my way out. You are the life. You are the way. You are the truth. Lord, come into my life. You can get born again right now in this service, all by yourself in that seat. I'm tired of the way my life has been. I'm tired of the way I've gone. Now I give you my life. You can get born again just now. You can rededicate your life to Him just now. You can start a new relationship with Him just now. It's time for a change. Osano moko seya leyo kosehe la mahala besi. Osada bahaya. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. Touch now, in the name of Jesus. Touch now, yes, yes. In the name of Jesus, I cause that pain to go. Then you're there and there's a pain on your shoulders. I cause that pain to cease now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. I cause that pain when every part from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I declare the healing of Jesus is just in the name of Jesus. I break every yoke now by the anointing. I break every curse now by the anointing. In the name of Jesus. I break that curse. Yes, I break that curse. In the name of Jesus. I break that yoke now. I break that bondage now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for healing. Thank you for the yoke is destroyed. Thank you for the body is lifted now. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for light is shining now. Yes, I call that spiritual blindness to be open. That eye is open now. That eye is open now. You have been blind spiritually. The devil has covered your eyes spiritually. Today, by the anointing, I remove the scale from your eyes. In the name of Jesus, your eyes are open to see. Your eyes are open to see the truth now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Laboko Sehelama. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear the word. The love of God. The love of God is flowing freely right now in this place. We just receive God's love. He said, my love right now is flowing free in this place. We just open up your heart and receive God's love now. Oh, Sadoboho Sakarabahatish. Lord, I receive your love. In the love of God, He will even do things I didn't call out. In the love of God, just now, I'm telling you, He's just spoken to me. In that His love, as you receive His love, there are things in your life. I couldn't call out cases, I couldn't do all that stuff, you know, but by His Spirit, as you receive His love, you receive His power. Will you receive His love? As you receive His love, you are receiving His power right now. Oh, la bohose kele mahane. God, come and sote bohose la baha. Oh, la sede bohose. Ela ba 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 ya. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for your love, Lord God. Esana mahala masana babahaya.
Lord, we receive your love today. Only Hato Shatani Redoza. Letono Rodomo Shalamandahaya.